Blog Talk Radio.
What's singing?
I can tell.
Sing it. Life is a song. What's singing?
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.
Change it.
Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, welcome. Today's date is July the 5th, 2017. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you are glad to have you on board with another exciting episode of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And remember, the slogan for our show is, if the positive change purchasing cooperative, your power is in numbers, then the positive change up 646-668-2948 for our listening audience and our callers to our weekly episode. Who would like to join us on these airways today? You can call us at 646-668-2948. And not to be redundant, I'll repeat that number once again, 646-668-2948. And please remember, after you dial the call-in number, you have to press 1 on your phone pad for me to bring you into the green room. You will call the number. You will be in a queue mode. And until you press the 1 after dialing the call-in number, I won't be able to bring you into the green room. So just remember that. Now, this show, which is a 501c3 organization, which is dedicated to remembering the impact and legends of those Black sports legends that broke down the barriers in this country. History, culture, educational, social change, economic justice, breaking down the barriers through the field of sport, which is the Black Sports Legends Foundation, and I also happen to be the founder of that organization. But we wanted to give kudos to these legendary sports figures who helped break down the barriers of racism and Jim Crow in America through the field of sport. And today is a very, very sort of special episode. We don't have any scheduled guests on the, but we thought we'd take a look back, and we're measuring the impact of solar now and the future with its economic impact on Black America's first 10 months of broadcasting. And the HBCU Solar Radio Initiative, which is what the homeowners in Washington, D.C., and in the state of Maryland install solar PV systems by year 2032. We have had interviews with representatives from the private, public, and nonprofit sector, informing our listeners about the benefits of installing solar panels and every subject matter of economic interest surrounding the solar, renewable energy, and energy field. Guests have discussed the important roles Black Americans play every day in their jobs in the solar, renewable energy, and in the energy industry. Guests who we have included and guests who we have reached out for, such as Black Americans of solar companies, such as WDC Solar, Mr. Mark Davis. We've had Mr. Damian Stryan from Alternative Solar Solutions. We've had Mr. Gilbert Campbell from Bolt Energy. We've had Mr. Ed Love from Houston with his solar African-American-owned solar company based in Houston. But this show will serve as a platform for Department of Energy, both federal, city, and state, local. Well, Mr. Terry Hills with the Emerge Alliance, senior policy advisor. We've had Mr. Amat Rin from the George Washington University Public Policy Institute. And we've also had a gentleman who I will speak a little earlier. We'll be speaking on from another perspective who have joined us also in the public policy arena. And I'm going to continue on with our show because we're just taking a few minutes here to sort of look over that we've had on the show, such as Tommy Wells, the Department of Energy and Environment Director here in Washington, D.C., Mr. David Turnbull, Campaign Director for PriceForOil.org, Mr. Tommy McKinty, Manager of Business Development of Operations for Church Trade, and Dr. Thomas Felito of the Snipes Organization, which was the organization I was trying to think of being able to we have, in fact, been able to accomplish quite a few of the integral components of our show. And we, in fact, would like to go back and sort of give you a look back at the past 10 months. Now, almost we'll go back in a year to a basic statement for our show. And as we indicated, we said guests would include Black Americans of solar companies, staffers, Department of Energy, both federal, state, local, private, nonprofit. For example, we will invite the president and founder of the Green for All team, Mr. Van Jones, who is a Black American Yale-educated attorney and CNN political commentator. He was has authored two of New York's best-selling books, The Green Economy of 2008 and Rebuilding the Green of 2012. The second book chronicles his journey as an environmental and human rights activist, becoming a White House policy advisor. He was the main advocate for the Green Jobs Act signed into law by George W. Bush in 2007. The Green Jobs Act was the first piece of federal legislation codifying the term green jobs during Obama's administration. The legislation resulted in to funding $500 million for funding for job training. Now, I met with State University Director of Underwriting of WEAA in Baltimore, Maryland, and Mr. Jerry Parrish, General Manager of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio. Both stations have stated they had would love to carry my new show, but I had to raise sponsorship dollars to underwrite the show because both stations are public service stations, both non-commercial stations. Okay, and we do on our website at Positive Change, www.positivechange, letter P as in Paul, C as in cat, .com. You can go there and you can look at this HBCU Radio Solar Initiative under our GoFundMe portion of the show, a page rather. But moving on, going back approximately 1 year, I'd like to read to our listening audience a letter that you will find at www.positivechangepc.com. Once again, look at the very, very top of our website, and you'll see an open letter to President Barack Obama. This letter reads, President, July 8th, 2016. President Barack Obama, White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. Reference, the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BCLF, HBUC, Solar Energy Workforce Development Testing Certification Initiative, and the BSLF, HBCU International Soccer Scholarship Initiative. Dear President, my name is Ronald Buffet. I run two small businesses, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative and the Black Sports Legends Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization registered in the District of Columbia. The Black Sports Legends Foundation was established to pay tribute and simultaneously examine the Black Sports Legends in baseball, basketball, boxing, football, golf, soccer, tennis, track, and all other fields of sports. We focus on identifying student scholarship opportunities at HBCUs and locating funding to assist those students and athletes find the corporate funding through our new BSLF Solar Energy Workforce Development Testing Certification Initiative in conjunction with the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners. This relationship would assist increasing the numbers of trained NABCEPT certified professionals among people of color worldwide. This program would increase the profitability of companies which are authorized and contracted with the DCSEU to participate in programs like the Solar Advantage Plus program in the District of Columbia and nationwide. Such an increase would help generate millions of dollars in growth for the solar industry It also could raise millions of dollars to pay for scholarships at HBCUs. The positive change, PCPC has moved its business focus on energy through the HBCU SLF HBCU Solar new model for the organization is a purchasing cooperative, which will be located in Baltimore, Maryland, and D.C. market area, metropolitan area, and beyond. Business growth will be aided by a very low cost, which will be contributed to the capacity to generate savings for its future members. The blueprint for vendors working with the PCP, Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, with governmental funding resources will provide a much-needed resources for financing and training of youth in this country in the solar and renewable energy field. The employment principles upon which the initiative is based are the following: commitment, creativity, confidence, consciousness, cooperative, capital, currency, cash consignment, a code of conduct, culture, and community. All PCPC financial business services and public transactions to its members of vendors will be do business via the internet through the PCPC website. The purpose, to address the economic effects of high energy costs at HBCUs, to utilize Black American-owned farmland, HBC campuses, to develop capacity for solar installations for underemployed and unemployed Black men and women, people locally and nationally from the diaspora, and visiting students and athletes, to target all 103 historic Black colleges and universities to become NHBCP continuing education certified training providers through their continuing education and workforce development programs, working in conjunction with Capron University of El Paso, Texas, to provide online training in their local marketplaces for interested candidates, to encourage HBCUs with workforce development programs to work in conjunction with local solar companies in their marketplace, to develop apprenticeship programs for individuals successfully completing the NHBCP continuing education and workforce development training program, to encourage HBCUs with small business development centers to help identify students majoring in business administration at HBCUs to help solar companies write proposals targeting local federal grants to develop training programs, reducing the time and resources needed for small solar companies in their marketplaces to complete the application process for grants, and providing those students with on-hand experience to encourage HBCUs to enter into more public-private partnerships with solar companies and private investment companies to set up more solar farms on Black American-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, locally and nationally, to encourage HBCU schools, schools of business, communications, engineering to develop better working relationships with local solar companies in their area, to develop local advertising programs to target the African American community, to get the word out on programs such as the Energy Smart Solar Advantage Plus program, to leverage current Department of Energy grants to certify under and unemployment youth. Join the National Cooperative Business Association, NCBA, CLUSA, which represents a cross-sector of co-op businesses, over 29,000 businesses that control over $3 trillion in assets. CLUSA unites co-ops by promoting the cooperative business model, driving across the sector of collaborations, and being a national voice for cooperatives. Apply with the Department of Treasury to become a CDFI, certified as a community development venture capital fund, which includes both for-profit and non-profit for businesses for individuals and communities to apply for the Small Business Administration for a $25,000 micro loan to start up businesses for loans, targeting veterans who are interested in entering into the solar and renewable energy field as a subcontractor, PV solar heating, and technical sales, task analysis, independent contractors. With solar companies in the market areas using military personnel and veteran-owned small business no-interest loans. President Obama, as you are finishing the last 6 months of your presidency, which is historic in itself, I think back to one of your earlier speeches about the fact this is the age of ideas and their importance in today's world. I also look at the present climate in America with the shooting of an unarmed young black man by the police officers and the shooting of the police officers by the young black man trained in the military with our tax dollars that has come home with and become disenfranchised, angered, and confused, and with no jobs to pay a livable wage, which in turn brings on a sense of hopelessness, not agreeing with his actions. But this is the reality we see our young men living with every day all over America. Also, it sends a clear message to our young people that our political system is broken when Congress will not pass a common sense gun control legislation because the NAR finance control it has over the U.S. Congress. To help protect our young people, especially considering the increased death rate for young black males, destroying any chance of a future for young black and brown youth in this country at a very alarming rate. I'm 65 years old, black man, with a 3-year-old grandson. I have to make a difference. Those two initiatives I know can and will make a difference in the lives of thousands of American youth. I will start with you, which will start with you signing an executive order for funding. President Obama, you signed on the call for action, winning the future in a recent speech where you also acknowledged issues around the conversation of energy security and development of alternative sources of energy as a matter of high importance to the nation and thus the administration. PCPCLAC has the president's call to action with a winning the future. As America debates the merits of renewable energy and technology, China is winning the future. In 2008, China renewable energy jobs totaled 1.1 million. China is adding new energy jobs at a rate of 100,000 per year, according to the Chinese Renewable Energy Industries Association. In fact, 90% of the global solar panels production occurs outside of the United States. According to Japan and China, combined with solar panel manufacturing capacity, exceeds that of the United States. President Obama, during your administration, the legislation has resulted in $500 million in national funding for green jobs since the bill was signed into law under George W. Bush in 2007. And your president advisor, the Green for All Jobs, Mr. Van Jones, who advocated to get the Bush administration to pass the Green Jobs Act. President Obama, I'm requesting that $100 million of this funding be put into funding the PCPC LLC HBCU Solar Initiative Program under the DOE, working with HBCUs and solar companies nationwide through a cooperative business model. With such funding, this initiative can change the game for workforce development for young people. It's your choice. Please make the right one. American lives depend on your decision. as it relates to jobs for the future. That was the letter that was written July 8th, 2016, which is approximately a year ago by 3 days that we sent this letter. We are going to take a short minute to sort of catch our breath here. As they say, H2O, it solves a lot of problems when you're on a mic. But the reason why we wrote President Obama was for the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF, Historical Black Colleges and Universities, HBCU International Soccer Initiative. Project rationale, introduction and rationale. The HBCU Scholarship International Soccer Initiative will target students from African, Caribbean, Central and South American nations. According to the National Association of Black Journal, Black Colleges and Universities Act defines historically Black colleges and universities, HBCUs, as those colleges and universities existing before 1964 with a historic contemporary mission of educating blacks while being open to all. HBCUs located mainly in the Southeast region, the District of Columbia, Virgin Islands. The following list includes the five athletic conferences which student athletes can play soccer. The Central Intercollegiate Athletic could play soccer. The Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, the CIAA. Gulf Coast Atlantic Conference, GCAC. The Middle Eastern Athletic Conference, MEAC. The Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the SIAC. And last but not least, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, the SWAC, SWAC, and Tennessee State University, which is the only historically black college in a predominantly white conference, which is the Ohio Valley Conference, NCAA Association Division I conference members. Two of the conferences compete as NCAA Division II conferences. Two of the members institutions compete as independents under the National Association of Inter-Athletics Association, the NAIA. Out of the 103 HBCU colleges and universities, there are five historically black conferences which comprise a total of 59 institutions. 59 institutions, five conferences, only three have men's soccer teams. Let me repeat, only three have men's soccer teams. Howard University, located in Washington, D.C., 30 student soccer scholarships for men athletes, fields the only Division I soccer program. Let me repeat that. Howard University, here in Washington, D.C., is the only HBCU that fields a Division I men's soccer program. Howard University team has become a member of the Sun Belt Conference for Soccer. Howard is the only historically black member in the Sun Belt Conference. Howard University is a charter member of the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, a 13-member conference, only one men's soccer program. Talladega, located in Talladega, Alabama, competes as an independent NAIA institution with 20 scholarship athletes. Talladega is a member of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, the GCAC. Eight institutions only field one men's soccer team. This university has 18 scholarship athletes, is located in Nashville, Tennessee. This competes as an NAIA institution. These HBCU institutions provide a total of 68 scholarship opportunities for men. On the women's side of the soccer ball, the athletic scholarship opportunities are a little better because the NCAA compliance mandates under Title IX. The rule provides more women's student scholarship opportunities. The Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, which has 13 members, fields three women's soccer teams, Delaware State University, Howard University, and South Carolina State University, providing 65 student athletic scholarship opportunities. The Southwest Athletic Conference, the SWAC, is the only historically black athletic conference with all 10 member institutions filling women's soccer. Teams are Alcorn State University, Alabama A&M State University, Alabama State University, Jackson State, Mississippi Valley University, Grambling State University, Prairie View, Southern University, Texas Southern, and Arkansas Pine Bluff, which provides 192 athletic soccer scholarship opportunities for women, along with Howard University's teams with 25. Howard University joined the SWAC in 2014, increasing the number of student soccer athletes opportunities in the SWAC to 220. This reduces the Mid-Eastern Athletic 68 soccer scholarship opportunities back to 43. Conference with only three members to play in the conference for an affiliation. So Howard University's women's soccer team, they log a lot of frequent flyer miles, having to fly from Washington, D.C. to Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi during soccer season on a weekly basis. Talladega College, with 20 scholarship athletes, is a member of the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, the GCAC Conference, with 8 institutions. Only fields one women's soccer team. There is a combined total of 288 student athletic scholar opportunities for men and women at historically black colleges and universities. For example, looking at all 59 HBCUs, 5 athletic scholarships, 5 conferences providing 25 students, women each could generate 1,475 student athletic scholarship opportunities for a grand total of, for men and women, of 2,950 student athletic soccer scholarship opportunities. This does not include the other 44 HBCUs who are not a part of the 5 athletic conferences that could start soccer programs. I recently spoke with Mr. Derek Ramsey, who at that time was the director of athletics at Calvin State University. In his discussion, he determined how much funding it would take to fill 50 full scholarship opportunities at Coppin State University for 50 international students to come from Africa, Caribbean, Central, and South American nations. The funding projections he quoted was about $1.2 million for each institution to cover the tuition and fees, including books, room and board at the universities, on or off campus, insurance, daily and other travel expenses, laptop computers. Looking at this level of funding, presently HBCUs for soccer, for HBCUs increasing the number of soccer programs that compete in the 5 traditional HBCU conferences, there is an urgent need to develop a new funding strategy for these 5 HBCU conferences. The Black Sports Legends Foundation plans to engage the National Association for Equal Opportunity, NAPIO, in developing the BSLF International Scholarship Soccer Initiative and International public-private partnership for funding soccer at HBCUs. With the government of Africa, Caribbean, Central America, and South American nations, the BCLF will be working to get the African-American division of each city to obtain their support in obtaining embassies, African, Caribbean, and Central and South American nations to support this initiative. This partnership will help identify corporate sponsors doing business with these nations to enter into long-term partnerships to get corporate sponsors for funding an annual rate of $1.2 million at each for our HBCU institutions in our five HBCU conferences who are interested in starting programs for student athletic scholarship opportunities for men and women at HBCUs in the United States. I request that you issue a presidential executive order to establish the President Commission to help these two initiatives to become realities for HBCUs. Thank you in advance. Sincerely, Ronald K. Bethay, CEO and President of the Black Sports Set, the BCLF, and the President of Positive Change, PCPC, LLC. This was sent certified mail to the Barack Obama's administration, to the White House. I received a certified return receipt indicating that they had received this letter on July 25th, 2016. That is the basic backdrop that I like to start today's show off, because there is a reason why there is a platform called Solar Now, Economic Impact on Black America, and I just read to you the backdrop, the program, and we will go back and we'll look at the last first 10 months of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact by looking at each month that you can follow by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You will be able to click on our news and events, and you'll be able to follow us as we take a trip, a very short trip, back in history, about 10 months. How 10 months, 1 year, can change where we are as it relates to the solar and renewable energy industry. And we're going to try to take a pause, musical pause, as we say, for the cause. And we're going to be back on the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact very, very shortly, that we can get this, our music, the key in here, up here, as we're still attempting to get this music, the key up here in the studio, which has been my pet peeve with this program here on the airways of Blog Talk Radio. And I will say that publicly because it creates...
Life is a song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
was singing, I got you, singing.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you once again for joining us back on the airways of Solar Now and the future with its economic impact on Black America. And remember that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 664-668-2948. And we would love to have you to join us on the airways today at Solar Now in the future with its economic impact at calling 646-668-2948. And please remember that you need to hit 1 on your phone pad. After you dial the number, please press 1 because you will be in our queue in, in our waiting area, and I have to bring you into the green room. So I have to ask you to press 1, and that will enable me to bring you into our studios here as we broadcast live on the airways of positive change. On the airways of Solar Now and the future with this economic impact on Black America, brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. You know, we've got a lot of balls in the air here, and we intend to try to get around to looking at the impact of this show. And as I indicated a little earlier, we've had an opportunity. We've been very, very blessed with a outstanding group of guests that have appeared on these airways. I'm going to sort of give a reading of some of these guests. Of course, most of you who are here in the Washington, D.C. area are familiar with Director Connie Wells, who serves as the chairman of the Department of Energy and Environment here in Washington, D.C. Mr. Wells was on our show last week, the very last program we did. Prior to that week, we had Mr. David Turnbull, campaign director for priceofoil.org. And Mr. Turnbull's campaign as director of the International for Oil Change, working on both domestic and international campaigns to focus the end of fossil fuel subsidies. He did a very, very outstanding job in explaining just specifically what their organization does in the area of public policy. The week before that, we had the opportunity of having a Mr. Tommy McKitty, manager, business development, and operations manager for Search Trade. Tommy is the handles the Search Trade deal and executive transactions for Search Trade, and he is a graduate of the school. He was a graduate of the School of Finance and Business at the University of Vermont, and he in fact came on the airways and he talked about what it took to create, say, what you're calling renewable portfolio standards, bring into existence with net meter a commodity. Once that legislation is passed, if there's not enough facility, well, what facility means, you have to have enough homes or businesses with PV installation systems installed to meet whatever the renewable portfolio standards, which simply means your local state and legislative governments pass renewable energy requirements indicating that a certain percentage of energy for that marketplace must be in fact generated by renewable sources, whether it be wind turbine, hydrogenetics, are solar. And they all have seeds that can be traded in all three aspects of this renewable energy industry. And this gentleman did an excellent job in explaining what creates a search market. Prior to that week, we had Dr. Thomas Bilitto, B-I-T-O-L-O, Bilitto, who is a senior associate with the organization called STICES, okay? And their organization, they in fact do research and document those requirements by going in and working for, say, an office like the State Attorney General. Here in Washington, D.C., we have the People's Council that represents the interest of the consumer in the utility markets. And in states, you have state attorney generals. Well, their organization will come in and do the study to determine if that local utility provider is meeting those renewable portfolio standards. They gather and put together that type of data, and they provide studies for local municipal governments to let them know if they're keeping up with their timeline in terms of where their projections are to meet what they are calling what's necessary to prevent global warming. Okay? Because there is there's a reason for the season. And the reason for that season is because the Sunshine Identity Initiative, and I want to talk about that in a little while because we will have those videos back up on our website in a very, very short time period. But someone decided, because we are reaching people and we are making a difference in this program, that they wanted to attack our site with some malware. So we have had some issues that we have to plug data back into the site. So that will be up. If you go to our website, you can still click on our news and events section. The site is not infected, so it will not hurt your PC. For those who are your iPhone or your smartphone or whatever you might be listening to our show on and decide to go to our website and check us out. So we have made sure that our Norton antivirus and everything we need to do to clean things up is taken care of, but we're still plugging back some plugins. So you'll find that once you go to the website. Mrs. Anna Schulman, Community Power Network Executive Director. Mrs. Schulman was on our show several weeks ago, and she talked about the issues surrounding the Renewable Energy Development Fund and how this one came into being, and the hard work that her organization does nationally in educating everyday communities on the process of how to buy solar panels bulk, how to go about selecting a company to do the installation. They have an organization that was started here in 2006, and it is on national, and you can always so find that information by going to our website, clicking on our news and events tab, and going back to our very, very first month that we put up the website, which was in November of 2016. I said, we're looking back at the impact this show has had in its first 10 months on the airwaves, and I think it has done some very significant things in terms of bringing information to the African American community, both locally, nationally, and internationally, because we have received calls and gotten emails from all over the world. So we want to let people know that this show, we know, it provides news that you definitely can use. Now, we also reached out for some people, like Mrs. Nicole Steele, Executive Director for Grand Mid-Atlantic Mid-Atlantic. Now, we've had the privilege of having their workforce developer on a person there, Ms. Zena Akio, who came on our very, very first broadcast, which we downloaded and pre-recorded, rather, at Morgan State University, WEAA, back in September of 2016. And we downloaded that particular show. All the other shows have been brought to you live over the airways of Blog Talk Radio from here, from your nation's capital. And as I indicated, we had we invited Mrs. Still on the show. She's chosen not to come on the show for whatever her reasons are. And we create this platform, folks, but we can't make anyone use it. But we strongly suggest that they roll out some public information about the $950,000 grant that the Department of Energy Director Chair, Mr. Tommy Wells, who came on this show and said they were awarded to let the D.C. community, specifically the African-American community, because that is the name of this show, Solar Now and the Future with its Economic Impact on Black America, know how they intend to engage, store it out to our community that this grant will assist 100 low and moderate income D.C. residents go solar by being able, if they qualify, to get the panels on their home at no cost to those residents, as well as to provide workforce development training, which is one of my major pet peeves, to 75 D.C. residents who are interested in becoming professional PV installation installers. They are supposed to be providing the training. So, as I said, this is definitely a show with news that we feel that everyone can use. We also had an opportunity to have the lovely Mrs. Coretta Bennett, Chief Operating Officer for Biff Energy out of Baltimore, Maryland, a graduate from the School of Engineering at my alma mater, Morgan State University, where she received a MBA also her engineering degree from Morgan State University, her MBA in strategic business and public policy from Rutgers University, and accredited professional MBC programs. Now, she is the day-to-day operational manager for Biff Energy, and they are doing amazing work here on the East Coast. African-American solar operation, which was founded by Mr. Robert W. Wallace, who is the chief executive officer of Biff Energy. We had the opportunity of interviewing their operational manager, Mrs. Coretta Bennett, and she is also a School of Engineering. And you can go to our website and you'll be able to see a number of major utility farms that they have built here on the East Coast in Maryland, Massachusetts, and here in the District of Columbia and Pennsylvania. So you can look at some of the outstanding work that they have done, and there are links on our website, and we'll be able to break that down and give you more information a little further up in the program, because we're just sort of going through looking at our guest list that we have, and we're just taking a walk back through, as we could say, memory lane. We have Mr. Dwayne Baker, who's was president and CEO of the National Association of Black Manufacturers, who also came on our show. And he discussed the fact that we have no African-American-owned solar manufacturers of any type of good or product which would be used in the installation of a PV system that would go in on top of a home. And these are the issues that we have looked at, how we can, through our purchasing cooperative, increase market share for these African-American solar-run companies, because some of them want to branch out into the manufacturing sector. And I know specifically Mr. Damian Strong of Alternative Solar Solutions, who received the award from the Bowser administration to build a solar manufacturing plant in Ward 8, which specifically is designed to train citizens of the District of Columbia how to manufacture solar panels. Now, this is what we're talking about in terms of a show that has brought this information to the forefront, to the airways of the African-American community, both locally and nationally. Now, as we move back and look at public policy, we've had the opportunity of having Mr. Ahmet Rodden, R-O-N-E-N, director for the George Washington University Solar Institute, which is a public policy think tank here at George Washington University. And he shared with us that George Washington University and George Washington Hospital and American University entered into a PPA agreement with Duke Energy, and they're now receiving a large percentage of the energy that operates those universities by way of solar through a solar farm that just came online that was built, has been built in North Carolina. We also had the privilege of having a Mr. Simeon Gant from the Green Tech Charter School tab, and you will see a link that says Green Tech. If you click on that, you will be very, very, very pleased to see the outstanding work that the Green Tech Institute of Technology does out in San Clemente, California. And it's a program that I have spoken of highly on this show, and we've looked at why this cannot be replicated and duplicated all over the United States. We also had an opportunity of having one of his board members, Mr. Joseph James, who's the Chief Executive Officer for the Corporation for Economic Opportunity, a CEO, who came on our show, and he talked about his program with working with Ruth's farmers throughout North Carolina and South Carolina on the interstates right off of 95 in biomass, and bringing green technology to black rural North Carolina and South Carolina farmers and assisting them. He was also on this show. So as we go back, I guess we had a Mr. George Boxsale, Division Sales Manager for Solagen. He is a D.C. native and has been a solar industry at the time approximately 3 years when we did the interview. He's a University of Maryland College Park grad, and he had recently joined Solar and Energy and as their national sales director, selling revolutionary piece of equipment called the Jewel Box, which you can find out about this piece of equipment, this generator, which is powered by solar energy, which would be no bigger than, say, a parking space that you could generate enough solar and renewable energy through this to power a host. So it wouldn't be something that one home, this would be something that you would attach to a major, say, shopping facility like a Walmart, which could power everything in that Walmart. Well, this would power a whole subdivision. That's how powerful this generator is. And this gentleman, young man, markets this thing. And as you would know, it's a six-figure item. But it will take you off the grid for 25 years. And in 25 years, the savings for your organization would be far exceed what you will be paying out if you're on the grid. Believe me. But like I said, we're just taking a walk back in the memory, sort of like in the memory lane, and looking at the list as it goes on. We had Mr. Gilbert Campbell of Boat Energy, a very, very dynamic young man who has developed and operates and maintains a state-of-the-art solar energy system for commercial, industrial, and governmental and educational institutions. Gilbert was recently named Ebony Magazine 2014 Power List, which recognized influential achievements of African Americans annually. Additionally, under Gilbert's leadership, Boat Energy is largely recognized as an emerging national renewable energy development firm. Boat Energy is a 2014 recipient of the Amtrak and Washington Wizards Pioneer Award, honoring companies that have made positive impacts on their community. This is a very dynamic young brother, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to work with him on an initiative that I'm working with right now, which I won't go into, as they say, on the airways about that, but we are looking at two initiatives for Howard University, an initiative with Howard University and the University of the District of Columbia, which we have discussed on some of our prior shows. Matter of fact, if you would log on to our website and you can click on our gallery and you will see the show that we just did last week, and it went into talking about that initiative in a little more detail than I'm going to do today. So, as I said, we are looking at a list. Mr. Campbell has a Mr. Antonio Francis, who is also the co-managing partner. They're both two young, dynamic young brothers that run and manage Bold Energy. And we had the privilege of having Mr. Corey Ramsey, who is also the director for Bui Sun, which is a member of the Empowerment Network. And we reached out to Mr. Sean O'Brien with the North American Board of Energy Practitioners. And for some reason, last week we had a breakdown when he came to the show because he did not, click on one, the number, and we weren't able to bring into our green room to complete the interview. But we have reached out to try to reschedule that show because he is the director of the North American Board of Energy Practitioners, and we did, in fact, put in place the proper backdrop for this show as we sort of read that letter that we sent to Barack Obama. I think it's a very historic letter, and it will remain at the top of our website at the Positive Change Purchasing Corp. It's PositiveChangePC.com. PositiveChangePC.com. That's www.PositiveChangePC.com. And once you go there, you will be able to get the speed on that. We also had the privilege of having Chairman Benny Ann Kane, Chair of the Washington, D.C. Public Service Commission. She has come on the air once, and we wanted to have her back, but we will do that. But we had her scheduling problem with getting her back on the airways. This was the week after the D.C. City Council, in fact, voted to remove $7.5 million from the D.C. Energy Renewable Fund. Now, I'm going to take a little time to sort of explain to people what this issue is. This issue is an issue is that Washington, D.C., outside of California and three other states, legislatively, has passed the highest renewable credits of portfolio standards in the nation. They're very, very high, and they're very, very tough. Now, when you are looking to get 5% of your energy, 5% may not sound like a lot of energy, but it's a lot of energy when you have as much density as you do in Washington, D.C. You have a population base of almost 600,000 people. And you have a search value credit with the new agreement that was just signed by the mayor. The original agreement said that a search value was 350, legislation that was passed last year that Mayor Bowser signed. They're valued at $500. The issue of having the value, not having the facility in the city because you don't have enough residential and commercial businesses that have installed PV solar systems on top of their properties or buildings, you don't have enough suppliers, said Pepco, who is the local utility provider in the district, to be able to purchase these renewable credits from. They are then fined at $500 per kilowatt hour. Well, being allowed to be passed back on also to D.C. ratepayers. So not only do they take the money from the ratepayers that go into the fund, you create this fund, which is on your bill, but when Pepco gets fined, they pay the fine, but then they pass that fine back on to D.C. ratepayers again. So they're getting hit the pockets twice, to a tune of $15 million a year. D.C. residential residents and businesses, based on a consultant that was hired by the Washington, D.C. Public Service Commission, indicates that D.C. residents and businesses pay 10% more for energy than anybody else in the nation. Higher. This fund, which has taken in over $40 million since it was set up by the D.C. City Council, an audit study done by the D.C. auditor shows that the D.C. City Council has gone to that fund and reprogrammed over approximately $45 million. But the fund was set up specifically and legally to assist D.C. low and moderate income residents to reduce their utility bills by 50%. Let me repeat that. The fund was set up specifically to help low and moderate income D.C. residents reduce their utility bills by 50% by 2032. Now, I know that's a long ways off, but you got to start sometime. And if you set up a fund 5 years ago, and you already moved 47 points. It was originally $47.5 million, but because Ms. Anna Schulman came on the airways of this show, as well as Chairman Kane wrote a blitzing letter to Councilman Chair Phil Mendelson of the D.C. Council asking them to put that money back, and it was the wrong thing to do. And we, in fact, discussed this last week with the chairman of the Department of Energy and Environment on these airways of solar now and the future with its economic impact, because the legislative arm, which is the city council, says it's the problem because you don't have facility in the District of Columbia because the Department of Energy and Environment isn't spending the money fast enough. Well, I know that the initial fundings for a lot of these initiatives have just come down the pipe and been flooded for the first time, even though they've been sitting on money since 2011. I know at least $10 million for workforce development training, which still has not been targeted and put in the right vehicles to help young people get trained. And that is what this show is about. So when we begin to look at the impact that this show has had over the last 10 months, I think they have been substantial. When I was told by Director Tommy Wells that the city council, and I did get a call from the city council, because I called all of them trying to get them on my show, and I sent out emails. So many of them have declined, of course, but they have acknowledged that they put back $2.5 million. And Commissioner Chairman Tommy Wells said it was because of this show and the advocacy of other people in the solar, who are solar advocates, around this issue of bringing solar and renewable energy to low and moderate income communities, which is our community, and it does have an economic impact, they put back $2.5 million. Now, I can't say it was done because of this show. No, I'm not saying that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that this show played a role because we gave a platform and a voice to Mrs. Anna Schulman, to Chairman Wells, to Chairman Betty Ann Kane, and these people have juice in this town. Make no mistake about it. It was heard, and it was monitored, and I think it made a difference. We also had the opportunity to have Mr. Damian Strand. Mr. Strand came on our show. He is the managing partner at Alternative Renewable Solutions. And Mr. Strand, in fact, and in 2011, he put together a program called Race to the Top. And it involves a number of IHBCUs. Tuskegee was one of those institutions, Alabama State, Grambling, Florida A&M. And they had a competition. And they did an outstanding job with putting together this program. They went to President Obama and asked him for funding to fund this. And I think it was $100 million that they were trying to get this program off and running. The same amount of money I asked President Obama for right before he went out the door. Now, very, very ironically, Mr. Strand's information, my information, was public information. We also traveled to the University Eastern Shore. We met with the dean of the School of Engineering. Done. We found out that they did not have a workforce development program. We talked to Dean Dunn about if we could find the funding, we would like to make sure we had a workforce development training with UMS and launch that type of program. We also approached Neil Lomax, with head of the United Negro College Fund offices here in Washington, D.C., and we wrote Mrs. Leslie Basterville, head of the National Association of Equal Opportunity in Higher Education. We sent them copies of our HBCU solar initiative. And that one of the things is to encourage them to enter into initiatives, but not to leave us out. We learned on January 17th, 2017, 3 days before 45 came to office, the administration took power, that 7 of our HBCUs had signed a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Energy and Environment. And if you go and look at what we have in place on the website under our About Us, Project Rationale, listen to our show, listen to what was the strand, this initiative parakeeted everything that we had proposed. Nor were we angry or upset. We were glad someone, but unfortunately, there's a book out called Who Moved My Cheese? When 45 came to power, he put a freeze on the federal government, a gag order on the Department of Energy, who he appointed Rick Perry, former governor of Texas. He put Scott Pruitt, former attorney general for the state of Oklahoma, this gentleman, unknown. Scott Pruitt sued EPA 14 times before he took over. Now, the budgets were somewhat supposed to be gutted or slashed, but I don't think that Congress is going to allow 45 administration to be as callous as they want to be about the solar and renewable energy industry. And the reason why we know that is because if you go to our news and events section, you will know that we have invited on the airwaves of this show the director of SEIA. Now, SEIA stands for the Solar Energy Industry Association. It's their trade association. And we invited their spokesperson to come on our show. And they for whatever reason, they declined. And they have the right to decline. The foundation that, and the report that was put out by SEIA, that this industry generated $200 billion in 2016 for the U.S. economy and $1.4 trillion internationally. The energy industry only did $360 billion. Let me repeat that. You will find by going to our website and clicking on our news and events tab for the month of July, you can scroll down and you will be able to see information that talks about what the energy industry and co-ops control in this country. And you will find out that in June, you will find out that based on information that we have researched, is there in clean eyesight of just how valuable the renewable energy sector is. You will find out that professional leagues such as the NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, they're all on board with the Department of Energy. We have, just under our news June tab, African American owned DC based Low Energy installs solar at Wake Forest University. The barn earns the lead in the silver certification. Okay? The Ryzen Center in Washington, D.C. will be powered by solar energy. News, Zocac Global signs 100 megawatt hydro power purchase agreement with electricity company in Uganda. Uganda. This is Mr. Ming Ringo's company, and he, Jerome Mingo's company, and he does an outstanding job in what they do. Former Secretary of Head of the Department of Diversity for the Department of Energy, Don Harris, under the Obama administration, is now working for him. You will also find there the was looking for and speaking to Powering America, not-for-profit, consumer-owned electricity cooperative provides service to 42 million people in 47 states. Co-ops are integrational integral part of the $364 billion U.S. utility industry. If the total industry is generating $360 billion, and solar industry is generating $200 billion of that, I'm quite sure solar and renewable energy is not going anyplace under the 45th administration. And as a lot of our guests have said, this train has left the station. Even though 45 has pulled away from the climate agreements, all of this research and this data you will find at our website. Examining co-op governance, old white boys game, what role does Black Americans play other than consumers? And we'll look at that aspect because the American Association of Blacks in Energy indicated that in 2009, African Americans, we spent $41 billion for energy in the U.S. We had 1.1% of the jobs and 0.8% of the wealth from the energy industry. So that took in all aspects of energy. We, in fact, have reached out to Mr. Tracy Woods, who's the operational manager for American Association of Blacks in Energy, AE, and we've asked them if they could provide us with some updated figures because that information is somewhat dated. I'm quite sure we, as African Americans, are probably spending twice that in 2017. But this impact of this show, last hour and a half, which is almost up, I have four more minutes on the airways of this to talk about the impact and reach that this show has had since its inception. As we said, we have reached out to our HBCUs. We continue to want to work with them. Even though we wrote contact Mr. Ron Butler's organization out of Miami, which is called the HBCU Consortium, they got a little cute now, and I remind you, they didn't get any funding, okay? So we're still in the same boat. So we're going to be closing our show in a very few short minutes. And we didn't get any calls in today, but we want our listening audience to know that we intend, this show is sponsored by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, and you can also log on to our website at www.positivechangepc.com. Please go to our link that says GoFundMe, and please support our HBCU or Solar Radio Initiative because we need to move this to the next level. And once again, until we talk again, thank you for joining us on the airwaves of Solar Now in the future with its economic impact on Black America. As we close out the July,
life is a song worth singing. I got to sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it?
the key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.